Blog Talk Radio.
God has always stood by my side. He has always been my guide. When my friends walked away and turned back on me, He stood right by my side. Through many heartaches and pain, through the storm and through the rain, whatever I need, I just pray, 'cause I know that the Lord, yes, He will, He'll make a way. He stood right by my side. God has always stood by my side. He has always been my guide. When my friends walked away and turned back on me, He stood right by my side. Always, never ever left me alone, y'all. Always, God has always stood by my side. Whenever I'm weak, I just pray, 'cause I know that the Lord, yes, He will, He'll make a way. He stood, yes, He did, right by my side. God has always stood by my side. He has always been my guide. When my friends walked away and turned back on me, He stood, yes, He did, right by my side. Hallelujah. God has always stood by my side. Glory be to God. And when your friends walk away and turn back on you, God's going to be there. He said He'll stick closer to you than a brother. He said, "Hello, I'll be with you even to the end of the world." Amen. Good morning. This is Word of Faith Outreach Ministry, where the pastor is Pastor Kimberly Boss. Amen. Our bishop is Bishop Kevin Boss. Amen. We're located in Salisbury, North Carolina, 5370 Stokes Ferry Road. Also, any inquiries, amen, can be sent to P.O. Box 844, East Spencer, North Carolina, 28039. Again, any inquiries can be sent to P.O. Box 844, East, E-A-S-T, Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R, North Carolina, East Spencer, North Carolina, 28039. We're going to be coming this morning to you, amen, from the book of Matthew. Amen. This book, amen, is a book of the four Gospels that is widely known, amen. And we'll be coming from the fifth chapter, starting at the 21st verse. Those just tuned in, we're at St. Matthew, fifth chapter, starting at the 21st verse. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. We're now at Matthew 22nd verse, 5th chapter, 22nd verse. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rasca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Because we know we're not supposed to call people fools. We're not supposed to be angry with our brother without a cause. The Bible said don't be a partaker of another man's sin. You know, sometimes people, they'll get mad at you over somebody else because somebody else is mad. Don't know nothing about you. Ain't even in it. Don't know what's going on. But because somebody else don't like you, they don't like you. And according to the Bible, the scripture tell us that's like being a partaker of another man's sin. Why would you be angry with somebody and you don't even know the person? Or why would you be angry with somebody and don't like them and don't even know them? And so we have to be real careful because the Bible, it tells us plainly that, you know, for if we willfully sin, there is no more sacrifice. There are some sins that people willfully do, amen. But there are some sins that people, amen, that they lawfully do. And so we got to stop taking and abusing God's word. We got to stop taking because God said he'll forgive us and doing stuff to people just because God said he'll forgive us. We're not supposed to go and just do stuff to be doing it. God's grace is there for us, amen, when we make a mistake. Not intentionally, but when we make a mistake. We weren't trying to make a mistake. We wasn't in our frame of mind when we made the mistake. You know, we weren't thinking straight when we made the mistake. But some people, they'll do stuff because, amen, and they'll say, well, God will forgive me. And some people do stuff to you just because they know that you can't do nothing back because you're supposed to be a child of God. And, you know, God let us know, amen, that we're not supposed to provoke one another to anger. Amen. And the Bible let us know, don't be, amen, that partake of another man's sin. And he told us that don't be running swift, amen, to mess, amen, in the 6th chapter of Proverbs. And he also told us that, we shouldn't be in our brother's faults and doing stuff because our brother is doing it because we like them better than we like that person. See, God don't have respect to person. And he told us, amen, that, you know, these are abominations in the 6th chapter of Proverbs that, you know, he don't like us doing certain things. And one thing about it, he don't like us to, you know, accuse our neighbor falsely. Another thing that God don't like us sowing discord among the brethren. That means you go and get something started with a brother and sister over here, and then you stand back like you ain't did nothing. I call it throwing rocks and hiding your hand. And a lot of people that went, they're going to start discord. You don't even know why somebody else mad at you. But somebody that went over there and said you said this or said that, and you don't even know nothing about it. And so you have someone mad at you because somebody else went and sold discord. They went and got stuff started. And the Bible said, well, there ain't no tail there is, won't no fire burn. That means if you don't put no wood on the fire, it don't burn. And the Bible said, well, in there strife is every evil work is under the sun. And that's what a tail bearer do. They go and get stuff started. They keep the wood burning on the fire. That's what I say. And that's why the Bible tells you in the book of Proverbs, you don't put that wood on the fire, it don't burn. Try putting wood in on a fire, and it will burn. But if you don't, it will what burn out. So sometimes it's good for us just don't say nothing, just to shut our mouth. Because the Bible says that tongue is unruly. Can't no man tame it. It's full of deadly poison. And the Bible says it sets the nature on fire. That means it sets your nature on fire. What it's saying is your sexual nature. You know how somebody can just talk to you a certain way and you start getting hot and bothered? Well, see, that's what God tells us, how dangerous that this tongue can be. This tongue can justify you and it can condemn you. The tongue, amen, got people killed, amen. Well, you know, they say loose lips sink ships. And a lot of people are in jail. A lot of people are dead. A lot of people are falsely accused. Friendships is broken up. Marriages is broken up because of that tongue. That tongue is deadly. And it's a little member of the body, in our body. But that tongue can defile you. A lot of people don't know how that tongue can get you in trouble. Let's still look at Matthew. We're at the 5th chapter. Now let's look at the 23rd verse. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there remember that thy brother have ought against thee. When you go to that altar, you're supposed to remember that your brother got ought against you. You're supposed to pray about it. Go to him. Go to your brother. He said, because leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. First, you're supposed to go to your brother and sister who you got offenses with or who you got the aunt with. Then you go to that altar. Because one thing about God, he said that he that come up to him must believe that he is. And you got to have forgiveness. See, a lot of times people don't realize that forgiveness, amen, that's what's blocking our prayer. Because we don't forgive one another. That is a big sin with God. That sin ain't no better than somebody out here murdering somebody. Unforgiveness. And God showed me that a lot of times that people are sick in their bodies because of unforgiveness. They have gone through things they shouldn't have gone through because of unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. Unforgiveness will cause you to, you know, it will mess with your health. You see, a lot of people wonder why their health is going down. Because they got stuff in them that they need to let go. Stuff that held them for 20 years. That stuff will break your body down. It'll have you worried, amen. It'll have your mind thinking stuff that ain't got no business thinking. It's unhealthy for you. That's the reason why God said, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issue of life. Every issue that you have comes from your heart. That's the reason why God said nothing but the pure in heart shall see God. Your heart got to be pure. That means it's got to be holy. It's got to be righteous. It shouldn't be nothing in your heart that God is not pleased with. So when you go to God and you ask God for something, when you go to God in prayer, that God will be able to answer you because your heart is pure. You don't have no motive behind it. See, some people, he said, you pray in a mist. That's what James said. That means your motives ain't right. But when you pray, the Bible told us, amen, that what we got to do, amen, before we even go pray to him, go and get it right with our brother, if we got something with our brother. And then he said, take your gift to the altar. And that's why a lot of people's prayers are hindered, because of unforgiveness. Okay, look at the 25th verse. We're still at Matthew 5th chapter with the 25th verse. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly. That means your enemy. It says, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. And people wonder why they got to end up going to court. That's why he said, agree with him quickly. Even the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your lap. We don't know. Tomorrow is not promised to none of us. Amen. And you know, we have to, amen, that's why God wants us to love one another. Why, amen, we can see one another. Get them their flowers while they're living. Because the Bible said the dead, you know, they can't speak. The dead can't see. Amen. So we need to, they can't smell those roses. Give it to them while they're living. Love one another. The Bible said he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. God, we are the church, amen. And Jesus is the husbandman, and the church is his bride. And we are the church, and we got to get things right. What husband would want to marry a woman that's whorish? He's not going to want to marry a woman that's going out here messing with everything. And we're supposed to be the church representing the bride of Jesus Christ. We're going out here doing and living any kind of way and saying any kind of thing. God don't want us to go back with him. He don't want to be married to us like that. But God wants us to be true. And when a man and woman, they go into a marriage, they want to be true to each other. They want to love each other. They want to tell one another the truth. Amen. And so that's the way God wants us to be as a woman in marriage. He wants us to what? Tell him the truth. Be real with him. Amen. To love him. To love him wholeheartedly. Not go out and cheat. Not go out and serve the devil and then come back and act like we're serving him. That's just like a man cutting out on his wife. A woman cutting out her husband. You going and you being with, you telling your husband you love him, but then you tell that man you cheating on, you love him. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You got to love one or hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon too. He said, I wish you would be hot or cold. He said, but you're lukewarm. He said, I spew you out of my mouth. God won't even want you to be one way or the other. And if you look at that 25th verse in the 5th chapter of St. Matthew, it tells you that he'll deliver you up to the judge. It said that the judge will deliver me to the officer, and that I'll be cast into prison. And that's the reason why a lot of people in there, because they could have agreed. They could have got together and forgave one another. A lot of people in their graves. A lot of people, amen, they sick, amen, all laid up in nursing homes and other places and up in prisons and stuff because of unforgiveness. You went and you killed somebody because you couldn't forgive them. You killed somebody because you didn't like them. You see what I'm saying? Or you told a lie on somebody. Or you got some trouble started. Amen. Because why? It's stuff that you didn't like because you couldn't forgive them. You got other people in your mess. And then now they dead and you alive. See, this is what's going on. And God wants us, amen, as being children of God, that we are supposed to be peacemakers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Bible said, you know, we're supposed to live godly with all men. Amen. He said, well, everything that lies within you, everything that's possible within you, amen. Even when Jesus came and he died, amen, he did that to bring peace to us, amen. He brought us to be reconciled back to the Father. And when he was born, the Bible said that he was supposed to bring peace and goodwill toward all men. He was the Christ. He was the Savior, the one that was supposed, amen, for us to come back to God the way we're supposed to come back, to bring us up out of sin, amen, to bring us out of darkness into the marvelous light, because Jesus is light, and we're supposed to be that light. The sin that sits up on a hill that can't be hid, amen, the candle that you can't put up under the bushel, amen, you can't hide it, amen. See, you can't hide light, because one thing about light, when light is turned on, it's going to show everything. And that's the way we're supposed to be, the children of light. There shouldn't be no darkness in us, amen. And see, the Bible said that the reason why people love darkness because their deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light. And so that's why God wants us, amen, our life's supposed to be hidden with Christ. We're no longer our own. We was bought with a price. He and even Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Your life don't belong to you. Your life already been paid for. It's been blood bought by Christ. And the Bible said, you know, we God's property. We belong to him. A lot of people say, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No, you're not. You're God. He said, when you was in your mother's womb, he already knew you. God have already did the things, amen, that we ask him for, amen. But we got to believe God for it. And we got to have forgiveness in our heart, amen. That sin ain't no better than somebody going out here murdering somebody. Unforgiveness, amen. The Bible said if you don't forgive him, he ain't going to forgive you. And he said he won't forgive you in this world, neither one to come. You got to forgive. And he said, you must believe that he is when you come to him in prayer. Prayer changes things. The Bible said the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it has an effect with God. It moves God because you're righteous and you're holy. There's no hidden agenda in you. Some of us have hidden agendas. And we go to God in prayer and we wonder why things ain't happening for us. Why our prayers are unanswered. Because we got stuff in our heart. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Your spirit got to be renewed, and it got to be the right spirit, amen. Because let me tell you something, the spirit that we was born with, we was already born with sin. We already, amen, was in a nipple in our mother's womb, so there's sin already in us, because we was born in it. But he said, you know, we're supposed to become a new creature in Christ. And a lot of people don't understand that. They feel like, well, you know, they want to keep your past on you. Everybody has a past. He without sin cast the first stone. Everybody have done something. Even the Bible said we all have come short of the glory of God. And he said with all our righteousness, we still filthy as rags. We're not supposed to think that we're better than nobody. And the Bible even told us in Galatians 6:1, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go in the spirit of meekness to restore such a one. He said, if they hear you, you have gained your brother. That means, think about it. You might be in that same place that your brother or sister's in. You might do something, that same thing they done. You want somebody to come and restore you. You don't want nobody judging you. You don't want them to come and help you. You don't want them to come and pray for you and talk with you. And see, a lot of times instead of us going and praying and helping, a lot of times people go and talk, but then there's people that you do go try to pray and try to help. They don't want it. I always tell people, you will lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. So we as children of God, amen, we got to forgive one another. We got to love one another. The Bible said if you don't love, you don't know God. Because why? Jesus is love. No greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friends. God laid down his life. He's the foundation of us all. And he said, if you don't have his spirit, you ain't none of his. You got to have the spirit of Christ. He said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Nobody's going to see God. And people think they can live any kind of way. They want to live raggedy, unholy, unrighteous, unthankful, blasphemous, adulterous. And God said, no, that ain't getting into his kingdom. So we got to know that God is who that he says that he is. And we got to know that God wants us to live a holy life. Because he said he's coming back for a church without what? Spot, wrinkle, and blemish. God is coming back for the church, and we're supposed to be the church. He ain't talking about the four walls. He ain't talking about the whitewashed buildings. He ain't talking about the brick buildings. He talking about a house not made by hands. He talking about our spiritual house. Except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain. If God don't build your house, amen, I'm talking about your spiritual house. If God don't build it, it's in vain. You can build it up on everything else you want to. You can make it look good. You can make it smell good. You can make it sound good. But if the Lord is not in it, it's in vain. Only what you do for Christ will last. And a lot of people don't realize that. He said, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven. He said, and all his righteousness shall be added unto you. You got to seek God first. But we do the cart before the horse. We doing it wrong. We seeking riches. We seeking fame. We seeking money, houses, husbands and wives before we seek God. That's why God told you to seek him first so God can what? Guide you. He can lead you. He said, acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path. He said, let your requests be made known unto him. God already know what you want. He already know what you need. But he said, make it known to him. God wants us to pray to him because that's our lifeline. You got to have a lifeline with Christ. The same way a baby has the umbilical cord is connected to the mother in the womb, the same way this prayer is connected to us and God. The Bible said he is the mediator between us and God. He's pleading our cause. He's the one talking to his Father for us. He's the one standing in the gap. When we make a mistake, there's Jesus pleading our cause, talking to God and reconciling us back with him, letting them know, amen, that we're going to be strong, amen. We're going to be built up more in prayer and in our faith, amen. See, God, amen, you've got to have him, amen, in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something, without God, he said you can't do nothing. In God you move and in God you have your being. He said, there is none besides me. There is none beside God. Ain't but one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. In us all and through us all. Ain't no other God. It's just one God. Oh, yes, people make other gods. Because the Bible said, whom you serve, that's your master. But there's only one God. People say they love God, but he said, you love me. He said, you keep my commandments. That's just like you keeping vows. When you marry that husband and wife, they vow to each other, to for rich or poor, better or worse, sickness and health, to death do you part. That's the same way you bow to God. Lord, I might be sick in my body, but Lord, I'm still, Lord, I'm honored to you. I'm married to you, God. See, a lot of times people, amen, as long as they're healthy and everything, they don't want God. When they get sick, they want God. But he said, for what? When we go to that marriage vow, it's for what? Sickness and in health. That means whether you're in good health, if you're rich, Whether you're poor, you got something, or you ain't got nothing. You know, some people, you know, when they'll serve God when they ain't got nothing. But when they got everything before them, they won't serve God. They'll serve the devil. Because the Bible says a man's riches make many friends. That means when you got money, you're going to have friends. But let your money be gone. They gone. But Jesus is going to be right there with you. He's never going. He don't care what you have and what you don't have. Because why? He said, a cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Everybody in this earth, everything that dwells on this earth, under the sea, over the sea, in the air, fowls of the air, whatever they are God's. He said, all the silver is mine. All the gold is mine. Everything belongs to God. And God said, the only thing I want is 10% back. God give you the health and the strength to go on a job, and all we want is, he wants 10% back, and we can't even give God $20 out of $200. If you get $200, that's $20. But we'll go and we'll spend it on McDonald's and Walmart. We'll spend it on our hair and our nails. We'll buy those Michael Jordan shoes. We playing in a name that can't heal us. We playing in names that, amen, that don't have no heaven to put us in. And we don't complain about that. But when it comes to giving to God, we got complaints. We don't complain when people go spend their money down there, over there, and they go to concerts to go see those movie stars. We don't complain. But let somebody go try to plant something in the church. Oh, that's too much money. You shouldn't be doing that. All they doing is getting your money. What do you think the movie stars are doing? All they doing is getting your money. They're not praying for you. They're not seeking God for you. They don't even know you. But God knows you. We got our priorities backwards, church. We start talking about, you know, people giving to the church, but we don't talk about how they giving to the world. How you think they're building all these Walmarts and all these food lines and all these family dollars? Because we are tithing into the world more than we tithing into God. We tithing into the world more than we tithing into the church. And we wonder why they can do this and they can do that. Because we're blessing them instead of blessing God. He said, what you do unto one of my least ones, you doing unto me. That means when you bless God's servant, bless God's house, you doing it also unto God. And where people, they miss their blessing at because they'll look at the person of whom they blessing. And you got to look at the God in them. You blessing the God in them. You thanking the God in them. That's why you're blessing them, because of the God in them. Where is the God in Walmarts and Kmarts? Where is the God in McDonald's and all these places that you eat at? Where is the God at in them? We go and get our nails and our feet done, and those people believe in Buddha. So we tied into Buddha when we go get our nails and our feet done. And we don't say nothing about that. See, look at, God will show you things. He show you things. I wish we had more time, amen, for the teaching that God has given me this morning. But we about running out of time. But we do want you to know, amen, glory be to God, that we have Bible study on Tuesdays at 7:15. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. Also, amen, we have Family Friends Day every fourth Sunday. I will be speaking the 17th of September in Statesville on the Women's Conference at Apostle Young's Church. Also, Bishop's 24th anniversary will be coming up starting September 29th. Amen. And also, he will be out at the fair, the Rowan County Fair, starting the 15th of September all the way to the 23rd of September. We'll be out there selling chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, amen, whatever else the Lord lay upon our heart, amen. We want you to come out there, amen. Come out there and let's fellowship with one another, amen, and be a blessing, amen. And we just thank you, amen, for everything. We thank all of you for listening, amen. And we want to give a special prayer out to, amen, to Miss Sharon Hogue and her family, amen, of her brother's passing. We send consolation to you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Father, for the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, that the word of God made an effect in someone's life this morning. And, God, you know what they have need of before they ask, Father. And, Father, God, we ask you to touch those that's weak this morning. We ask you to strengthen them, Father. God, where they're torn down, build them up, Father. Oh, Father, supply all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And, Father, God, remember, amen, those that's in prison, those that's up in the hospital, Father. Father, those that have lost loved ones, Father. Oh, Father God, remember those, amen, that's out there on the street corner. Those that's on drugs. Those that's on alcohol. Remember the prostitute, Lord Jesus. Father God, we ask you, Lord, to speak to the valley of the dry bones, Father. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, let life come into them, Father. As we go out, Lord, and minister to them, Father. Draw them from the north, south, the east, and the west, Father. Oh, Father God, you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, Father. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for drawing all men, Father, Lord, that's not saved, Lord. Oh, God, to you, Father. And, Father, let us lift you up, Father. Oh, Father, God, let us praise you, Father. Oh, Father, let our good works, Lord, be seen, Father, by you, Father. Because, Father, Father, you said, when we do our good works, Father, oh, Lord, that you've been glorified in heaven, Father. And, Father, God, we ask, Lord Jesus, that the people of God come together, Father. Let them come together as one, Father. Oh, Father, God, we bind every spirit that's not like you, Father. We bind the spirits of, Father, that's of disobedience. We bind the spirit of witchcraft. We bind the spirit, Lord Jesus, of poverty. We bind the spirit of sickness and disease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed, Father. Now, Father, we thank you, Father, as we lift you up, Father. Even in our prayers, Father, that you know, Father, we got that you're going to answer them, Father. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, because you said that prayer changes things, Father. And, Father, you know the changes that we need in our lives, in our homes, on our jobs, in the streets, Father, in our churches, Father. You know, Father. And, Father, only you can do it, Father. Hallelujah. And, God, we give you the glory, Father. Now, Father, we thank you for all these things, Lord, that we have laid up before you, Father. And, Father, we know, Father, that you're watching over your word to perform it, that it won't return unto you void, that it's already prospering in the thing that you sent it out to do. And, Father, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And remember, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.